It's Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fenny. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fenny.
Good day to you, sir.
Hello.
Sorry, what?
Oh.
What?
Can you hear me?
No. No. I'm deaf in one ear.
Just one?
Just one ear.
As long as one's working.
And the other one, I don't know what happened to the other one. The other one appears to be in sympathy with the other one. I went to see Springsteen last night.
Right.
My ears hurt.
All right, well, quick sentence on the concert.
What?
If you're puking green this morning, you can listen to our show. Because we're going to help you recover from your St. Paddy's Day hangover. Lisa Farber is going to be in to let you know what's going on in town. And I do want to hear about that Springsteen show, if you can hear me.
What?
That's the hangover song I'm talking about. Nice thing to ease you out of bed this morning. Soren Bryce is her name. She's from the East Coast, but she wrote that song about Newport Beach. And when visiting our studios, didn't actually realize it was right down the street. So she got to visit her own song topic while she was here.
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah.
Cool. Where is that podcast available, Tyler?
Oh, probably KX93.5.com.
Well, it's worth a little visit, isn't it?
I would guess as much.
Beautiful. Bit of sleepy song, but really lovely music. Very good.
Well, you had a rocking night last night, I'm sure.
Tonight. That's it. That's a Springsteen concert over and over and over again. Listen, you can't knock it, man. 10,000, 20,000 people in a building singing along. It's like, it's not a gig. It's a religious festival.
Yeah.
So to judge it on its musical merits isn't the point. I realize that.
Okay.
And I went with Mike Waldman.
Right, who's a Springsteen fanatic.
Because Waldman's wardrobe on a Tuesday on this very show. And he adores Springsteen and he grew up with him. And when you grow up with that, with a certain kind of music, it's in your blood. There's absolutely no, you're not being objective about it. And why should you be? It's art. It's not, it's a wonderful thing to have a band like that in your life that you can go and just close your eyes and you're 17 again. I mean, it's just fabulous.
But did you feel any of that being there?
No. No. It was the worst sounding gig I've ever been to. Tearing that place
where
down.
Where was it?
You know,
Staples Center?
No, the LA, what do you call it, sports arena.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Yeah,
place.
Yeah, they're tearing it down to build a soccer stadium. It's on Figueroa.
Oh.
There's a very good Philly steak sandwich across
the
street.
Picture.
Did you
it
see that?
Pretty good.
Really good. It was packed with people, and they were playing Springsteen in the restaurant.
Wow,
it's great. So
it was like St. Patrick's Day was ignored for the people that went to the Springsteen concert.
He played a couple of sort of jigs,
yeah,
Irish songs. I knew he would. You know, he talks well. He is clearly, you know, on my side of the political spectrum. he's a thinking man. He talks about. You know, he made that record, The River, in 1980, and this is what he was doing. He was playing the whole album.
Right.
Four sides, two CDs, if you like. And that went, I mean,
that's a long concert.
That was 2.5 hours. There was another hour of hits.
Wow.
After that. Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's way too long.
Then there was, you know, Born to Run and all the big hits. It did everything. So, amazing to see. They're the best, probably the best septuagenarian band out there. Way better than the Stones live. I mean, they really rock it.
Sure.
They're great. But sonically, man, it could have been where I was standing. We had great seats. We go inside. We've got these great seats. We're kind of, how do I explain it? We're to the side of the stage, but we're far enough forward that we can see stuff, good angle mm-hmm. to see everybody. I sit down, I've got an aisle seat so I can stretch my legs out the side.
Nice.
So I'm really rocked.
That's
great.
The
We're
best.
Only two rows back.
That's the best.
You know, great. I'm like, it's like being on the plane to Japan all over again, better than business class. So I'm like that. And then a guy comes in and sits in front of me, a balding older guy who's clearly handicapped in some way.
Ah.
Right. I mean, just, you know, those people that are way too happy, like they're missing a chromosome or something. So this guy starts dancing from no one. He lost it. And he's dancing and he's pointing in the air and he's doing the victory V signs and he's going, and he's wiggling his butt around in his baggy black jeans and then he bought the t-shirt from the
and put it on show, immediately
right he yeah. put that t-shirt yeah. on and the t-shirt that he kept was wearing when he came in, he's got it in his hands and he's waving it like a flag and then he starts whisking it around his head and it's almost here and I had to reach out and grab him and go, and I didn't want to spoil his fun,
right,
man.
He was clearly not.
You know, not quite there.
And he was in his, like, heaven.
Oh, he was just, it was actually, he was fun to watch because he really was just right there in the zone, this guy.
But you had some words with him anyway?
I didn't want to upset him. At one point, Mike made him sit down. And I mean, this guy was into it and Mike was into it. And the fans that love him, it is entirely a religious event. It's the Church of Bruce.
So did Mike want... Mike really wanted you to love this show, right?
Yeah, but Mike's a big boy.
He understood.
He's all right with me.
Because he got you the tickets. He got you the tickets because he wanted to say, Jason, come look at this spectacle with me.
I do feel a little guilty for not quite getting it. For not drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's
just not... I didn't grow up with that music. There comes a point where... Didn't he just do this song? You know, isn't that the same? Dig-a-dun, dig-a-dun, tonight. All right. You know, what? And, you know, Mike's explaining the words, which you can't hear the words. But it doesn't matter. You don't have to hear the words because the crowd knows the words.
Right.
The guy next to you is singing the words, every word, you know. And
wow.
I've never heard of it.
I mean, obviously, people are fans of shows they go to, but I've never heard of an entire audience just completely.
They lose it.
Wow.
They lose it and they love it. And you know what? I'm envious of them.
Sure. I'd like to like anything that much.
Just for the last time that happened to me was when I saw Crowded or Neil Finn from Crowded House down at the Coach House. I'm such a big fan of his that I can lose it to his. I know every word, all the songs, and I kind of get that thing, you know. But that's a stadium with 20,000 people. It's quite an awesome thing.
It is amazing. I think you're also a little jealous.
Well, of Springsteen. Well, of course I am.
All right, so can or can't you hear right now?
I can just about hear it now. No, I've got no top end.
No top
it's
end.
All everything.
You can't hear a hi-hat right now?
No.
All right. How about some of this? Will this bring you right back?
I'm telling you. Tonight!
Actually, you kind of nailed it.
It's
this
coming.
Is the first track from The River. So,
right.
Understandably, the first track you heard last night, right? Or do you not remember?
Like that.
It's KX93.5 Daily Scramble Live.
You've been hurt and you're all crying out your sleep. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live.
That artist, by the way, was called Clea, Dire Consequences. She's out of Brisbane. Do your Australian, please.
Brace yourself, Sheila.
You always need some phrase to start it.
Yeah.
All right, March Madness is happening right now, Jason Fetty.
March Madness.
And I'm going to explain it to you.
Please do.
In the best way that I can.
It's
I know
nearly
you don't,
April, and you, I still don't know what it
you
is.
You don't understand. It happens every year. It's the NCAA college basketball tournament.
Right.
Only 64 teams make it into the tournament based on how they did throughout the year.
All right.
So, firstly, it's a big deal to get into the tournament.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
Who decides that?
The NCAA, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So, then they seed each team based on how well they've done.
Okay.
So, there's four number one seeds, four number two seeds, all the way to 16.
Right. There's an organization that does this, like the tennis, to do the same thing.
Sure, yeah.
Tennis,
so, they seed each team, and then if you're a higher seed, you get to play a worse seed in the first rounds. So you have a better chance of advancing.
The higher seeds have a better chance of advancing.
Because the number one seed plays a number 16 seed in round one.
It doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, that's the whole point of the thing.
so that when by the end of it, if they're right, because they really it's a gambling.
If they're
thing,
right, all four odds, number one seeds should be in the final four,
which would make it exciting to watch.
Well, that's not why they do it that way, but yes, theoretically, that's what should happen.
It sounds like somebody's got their finger on the ball of the roulette wheel here.
But it has nothing to do with gambling.
It's unfair at all.
But the exciting thing about March Madness is you never know what's going to happen, and there's upsets all throughout the tournament.
Right.
Lower seeds beat higher seeds all throughout the tournament, yeah, even if they're not favored to do so. And I'm very sad to report that the Arizona Wildcats, a number six seed, lost last night to the Wichita State Whatevers. So that was a real bummer.
Wichita State Whatevers, they're a good team. They're not a good team.
They're pretty good, actually. They're only a 12 seed, but their guy was injured when they were doing the seeding process, and now he's good again. So they ended up kind of sneaking in. Anyway, we lost. It sucked.
Are they a new team?
No, not really.
I'm just wondering if they're seedlings. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Have you understood this explanation?
No, not really, but go on.
All right.
It sounds like betting. It sounds like it's odds. You've got the, you know.
Yeah, the higher team has a higher odds of winning, and the lower team has a lower odds of winning. Sure, yeah. You can think of it that way. All right, so what we've done here at KX93.5 is we've created our own Laguna Beach March Madness bracket. So we've made a bracket of 64 Laguna Beach things, and we're encouraging you, the listener, to vote on these things, whether you vote for a favored seed or an upset, to advance and then ultimately crown the best thing in Laguna.
And will we stop every now and again and say, okay, here's where the seed thing is now? As if there was a game.
They advance, yes. So right now, the first round teams are playing. It's in line with the March Madness tournament. So after today, the first round will be over. So we will see the votes and advance the teams that have won the first round. Then there'll be new matchups from the people who advanced, like a bracket.
At the same time as the next
round of March Madness.
Right. Yeah. Now I understand it.
This has been very confusing.
That's
why I needed to explain it to
you. Okay. It is in line with the actual basketball
teams. So for example, here are some matchups. We have four different categories. We have events, places, restaurants, and other. Okay? So let's look at the events category briefly. It's the easiest. A number one seed, Festival of the Arts Pageant of the Masters, makes sense,
yeah,
is playing a number 16 seed When the Monks Come to Town. All right. So right now, the Monks. The Monks are at 26% of the vote. So there's got to be some real pushing for the Monks if you want them to catch up and win.
Tell you what, once those people from the neighborhood congregational church get behind the Monks, it's going to be big time.
So in the other category, a favorite category, is a number six seed, Jason Fetty.
Ah, number six seed. That sounds good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But Arizona was a six seed and we lost. Playing a number 11 seed, the Greeter. Okay? So you're playing the Greeter. And it's been asked, do you mean the current Greeter? I think we mean the legacy of greeting. We mean every Greeter.
Oh, man. I can't beat the legacy of greeting.
But you're winning. You're winning.
I'll tell you what, Bob, I'll be prepared to do like celebrity boxing match against the current Greeter.
You might lose.
No, I would lose.
He works hard.
He's pretty wiry.
The Greeter only has 32% of the vote, so you are winning. You are winning that category. Here's a matchup that has 0% of the vote. A number three seed in other, our local nonprofits, good cause, versus a number 14 seed, Toyota Priuses. Local nonprofits has 100% of the vote.
Oh, yeah, that's not a big
match. So as you can see, the low seeds are supposed to be kind of mediocre, crappy things in Laguna Beach.
Right.
And the high seeds are supposed to be things we actually enjoy.
Specific to Laguna. Like, the amount of Priuses in this town is huge. I don't know what the data is.
Right, but
it has to do with Laguna Beach. Yeah, I get it.
A number 15 seed is parking. It's playing a number 2 seed, our schools. So the first round's kind of a wash.
Because there'll be some funny upsets where parking beats the greener. So it's good. It's funny. Yeah, I get it.
All right. So it makes sense to you now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can go on our website, kx935.com, and you can vote on whatever you want. You have to vote on everything. So you have to make 32 votes right now, and then it'll get shorter and shorter as the tournament goes on.
Yeah, join us in this. I think this will be great. It's good fun. And we'll see who wins out. Of course, a vote for me is a vote for sanity.
I knew it would be a good idea to put you in this poll because I can't wait to see who you lose to.
As long as I don't lose to parking, I'm all right.
You know, if you win this round, you will play our nonprofits in the next round.
Wow. Wow. That's a big upset.
And then if you win, if you beat that.
If I beat the nonprofits, I won't be able to look anybody in the eye.
If you win that round, you'll play our schools, most likely,
wow,
in the following room. Or dogs. You might play dogs in general.
I can't win against any of these.
No,
not
you got
dogs.
You got trouble headed your way. Never
mind.
Sure.
That's all right. I'm glad. I hope I'm out pretty early. I don't want to be in this for too long.
So go on and vote. We're just doing this for fun. We're not making any money off of this. It's just a fun thing that we thought would be cool for Lagoonans to have fun with. So KX935.com. All right. So coming up, what are we going to do?
I don't know. That's a great idea for people who are not that interested in basketball. You know what I mean? To sort of be
right,
involved in the fun of it.
Yeah, agreed.
I like it.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the happiest and least happy countries in the world, per some new data. And the band King Shelter, a local group, is going to be in studio.
Sweet.
Daily Scramble Live.
Robert Francis, a guy who used to play in town locally a lot, made it big, and then moved somewhere else. I don't know. Good morning, Jason Fetty.
We don't care. Once they leave town, that's it. They're gone. They're dead to us.
Coming up, we've got another local band in studio called King Shelter. They've got a lot going on, and they're playing at our locally crafted show next Wednesday at the Wayfair. Really excited about.
Yes.
But for now, let's play a very quick game, Jason Fetty. There's a new survey out.
A game?
It's not much of a game, really. It's not much of a game.
All fun and games with you, isn't it?
There's a new survey out that rates the happiest and least happy countries in the world.
Oh, this is cool. Go on, then.
What might you think is the happiest country in the world?
Wow, that's a good question. The happiest country. Based on what, though?
Oh, let me tell you.
Go on.
It doesn't say.
So, well, they probably asked a bunch of questions, right? Was it a survey?
Yeah, based on equality, based on social security, based on no political unrest or the threat of violence, basically where everything's going okay.
Right. And so they do a survey of people, presumably. They can't, you and I could do this. We go, oh, I'm sure that country's no good, or that would be based on an opinion. But if you did a survey of people and said, how do you feel about your life, your job, your this?
Yeah, it is a survey of people.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, I've no idea. let's see. Happiest country in the world. Where are people really happy? Some Scandinavian place, probably.
They are happy over there, aren't
they? They are. They're kind of looked after. They have a safety net.
Yeah.
And the importance of that is underplayed in the United States because it seems like it would be perhaps un-American or at least anti-capitalist.
Denmark.
Is that right?
Denmark
really?
Is the world's happiest country.
Well, there you go.
Switzerland, Iceland, Norway, and Finland, which, like Denmark, have strong social security systems, made up the rest of the top five.
Well, that's what makes people happy. That it's not that you are looked after by some sort of nanny state, but if you trip, they'll pick you up.
Well, the U.S. did okay on this list, the 13th happiest country, the U.K. 23rd. Basically, it's like the U.S., except it rains a lot. So
I can
understand that. Yeah. China, 83rd. Mm. India, 118th.
Wow.
Now,
a lot of poverty there.
At the bottom of the 156 countries list, might you guess is what?
Syria.
I would have guessed that as well.
Yeah.
But it's Burundi.
Oh, really?
Burundi is experiencing severe. Where is Burundi?
I don't know.
Experiencing severe political unrest and the threat of violence. It actually scored worse than Syria. Syria was 155th, where a civil war has killed more than 250,000 people over the past 5 years.
Yeah, let's see. Burundi, Wikipedia. Landlocked country in the African Great Lakes region of East Africa, bordered by Rwanda to the north and Tanzania.
Yes.
Those places are always in a big...
Oh, it looks beautiful, though.
Yeah.
Really nice field in this picture here.
Well, you'll be able to look at the beauty of it while somebody whops your head off with a big knife for being the wrong color or something. Yeah, funny that. Very interesting that. You know, Jim's like the welfare state and the... I don't want to harp on about this thing. I read a thing recently about a doctor who was... he's from L.A. And he was in the military and he was in the first Iraq war. And he went out there and they were out in the middle of the desert somewhere, in the middle of nowhere. And they began to run out of morphine, which you need a lot of. People losing limbs with IEDs and all that kind of stuff. You need a lot of painkillers. And they was beginning to run out of morphine, so he had to ration it among the patients. And he went around to the patients and he asked them, you know that thing where they ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how painful is it?
Sure.
And you're supposed to say 6 or 7 or 3 or whatever. He went around from, and you would think there were people in distress and a lot of gore and not a particularly brilliant hospital and middle of nowhere and, you know, you're not, your family aren't around you, blah, blah. How painful is it? Well, he was surprised to find that the soldiers were saying it wasn't as painful as he thought they were going to say. So they were saying 5s and 6s rather than 9s and 10s.
Mm.
And you could say that that's probably because they're tough guys and they're trained and they have some expectation that some violence could happen to them, you know. Anyway, so he thought about this for a while and he came back to the United States and he worked in triage in LA, in East LA. And a lot of, it was a time when in the 90s when a lot of gang stuff going on and a lot of people coming in to the hospital with gunshot wounds from the streets of LA. People caught in the crossfire, people involved in the gang stuff themselves. And he asked the patients the same question. And it was way higher. That the people were saying, oh, it's 9, it's 10. Scale of 1 to 10, doc, it's 11, you know.
Right.
In a lot of pain, a lot of distress. So you could say, well, all right, let's, you know, the soldiers are well trained and these people perhaps didn't expect to get shot. So perhaps there's a shock element to that and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so this guy was shocked by the difference. And he couldn't figure out why this was happening. So he went on to do a degree in psychology. And then he became a doctor of psychology. And he's done a paper. I wish I could remember this guy's name. But he's done
you
a paper.
You remember quite a bit about this story.
The story was fascinating. He figured out, he did a bunch of surveys and went around finding out more information. Of course, now he's got the backing of a university, so he's got money to do these surveys and to ask people a lot deeper questions, more questions about pain and the amount of pain they're in and the different places that they were in that pain. And this was its conclusion. If you are shot by a gun, you have three thoughts. First thought is, oh my God, I've been shot by a gun. I'm going to die. Second thought is, I'm not dead. I'm okay. Because you suddenly realize, okay, I'm not dead. All right. Now, the third, this is the same across the board, both places. The third thought is different. The third thought, if you're in Iraq in the war, is I'm in a hospital, I'm going home, I'm going to be all right, I'm going to be looked after. And you begin to relax and the pain begins to go away. You're still in pain, but the pain is not your central focus. You're going home. In East LA, in a hospital, first thought, oh my God, I've been shot. Second thought, I'm not dead, I'm okay. Third thought is a number of thoughts. How am I going to get home? Who's going to pay my medical bills? Who's going to pick up my mother from the dentist? My kids are in school. Please call my wife. Blah, blah, blah. And the stress of that increases the pain level. And as the pain level increases, you are less likely to heal quickly.
It's almost relieving to get shot and be okay in a war.
I don't want to say, in a way. Yeah, I don't want to say that. But at least you know you're going to be looked after. And because the stress level is less, the pain level is less, the healing time is quicker. And if the healing time is quicker, it's less burden on the economy because you're not spending as much money on drugs and blah, blah, blah.
Wow, this really goes full circle.
Right, so this is my point. So if that's all true, okay, which, I could have made it up, couldn't I? But if it's all true, then it's worthwhile looking after people because it's less of a burden on the economy.
Dude.
Thank you very much.
King Shelter and next to play live for us on KX93.5.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
All right, we're going to do some news for you quickly because we want to get King Shelter in here and playing live. And then we've got a full album Fridays this morning with Deep Sea Diver. Is that right, Steph? Yeah, okay. 9 a.m. that'll happen. So quickly on 3rd Street Hill. Here's the latest, okay? It's closed still, of course, during the day, as you know,
if you live in town.
But the director of water quality, David Schisler, has an update on the sewer construction. All this week, it has been open in both directions after 5 p.m., and it will continue in that way all day, both days this weekend. So after 5, it'll be open normally. But it will be closed in both directions 24/7, beginning this Monday morning, until March 30th, because they're going to start demoing and reconstructing the specially treated pavement. And finally, they do say the majority of the work should be complete by the end of the first week in April. However, there still will be work on the project that will require intermittent short-term closure of lanes on 3rd Street Hill and Loma Terrace, primarily during normal working hours. So the end is not really in sight.
No, I know. And it is frustrating. But this is the time of year to do it, I guess. You know, it's construction season.
It's not going to be very soon. If they dip into April or May at all, I mean, it's going to get really crowded down there.
So. I know. I feel their pain. But I think, you know, the town's so busy, even in the winter these days.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, 70 degrees, FYI, if you're listening in, you know, Wisconsin.
Also in Southern California news this morning, the U.S. theme park operator SeaWorld says it is ending its controversial orca breeding program. The decision means the orcas currently at the parks will be the last generation. SeaWorld has 12 parks across the U.S. and it's faced heavy criticism over alleged poor treatment of its captive orcas, also known as killer whales. Activists have called for the orcas to be released into the wild, but SeaWorld claims they would likely die. For as long as they live, the orcas at SeaWorld will stay in our parks. The company said on Thursday that it would also scrap plans for a $100 million project called Blue World that would have enlarged its orca habitat at SeaWorld San Diego.
In other news, the German government has closed down Auschwitz in order to avoid paying any taxes. Actually, you know what happened yesterday? When SeaWorld made that announcement, their share price went up 6%.
Well, that's exactly why they're doing this. I mean, there's very little they can do to recover from the media disaster that they're in after the movie Blackfish.
Yeah.
But I suppose this is the sort of stuff they have to do to stay afloat.
Ah. Oh, I love it. Because they were actually going underwater, weren't they? The whole thing was... But anyway, no, I suppose that's a good thing for any killer whales listening. Congratulations.
And finally, on a completely different note, an electrician has died after falling 53 floors from a construction site in Los Angeles. Police were quoted as saying the man struck the rear of a car on Wilshire when he fell. It was reportedly the man's only second day working on the project. It's a $1 billion development, which will be the tallest building on the U.S. West Coast when completed. The driver of the car was hysterical, waving her hands in the air when she was confronted. My
God. Can you imagine? Oh, no.
Ugh.
But did I do the right thing there? Because the original story said he fell 53 stories. And I thought, do people say stories
here? Yeah, we say stories. Well, you got it from the BBC?
Yeah.
Nope, we say stories or floors. It's all right.
All right, then.
Good. All right, King Shelter is going to play live in just a few minutes here. Here's a new song from Seven Horse, our friends and supporters of independent radio everywhere. Two-Stroke Machine, it's called. KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. Good morning, I'm Tyler Russell, Jason Fetty here as well on Daily Scramble Live.
Hello.
And we're about to feature a band that we're excited to learn more about. King Shelter playing our locally crafted show next week at the Wayfair. They've got an EP coming out. They've got a new single coming out. And they're going to play acoustically for us now. So whenever you guys are ready, King Shelter live on KX93.5.
You said that you care, you said that we were in love, you said you're happy and that I am more than enough. You said I'm more than enough. But people change with the tide. People change in the blink of an eye. I wish I changed with you. I wish I changed with you. I wish I changed with you. And I wish I changed with you. You said it's over, You said to let you go. I said you loved me then. You said that you didn't know. Oh, you said that you didn't know. But people change with the tide. People change in the blink of an eye. I wish I changed with you. I wish I changed with you. I wish I changed with you. And I wish I changed with you. I'll be thinking of you. I never thought that love can do me so much harm. Oh, I'll be thinking of you.
All right, guys. Awesome. Yeah. King Shelter live on KX93.5. It's Daily Scramble live. If you guys want to hop on these microphones, we'll chat with you for a minute. Again, they've got a few things going on right now. They've got a new EP coming out, a new single on the way. They're doing an EP release show in an LA warehouse. And most notably, I'm excited that you guys are playing our locally crafted show, the first ever in partnership with Broken Entertainment, next Wednesday at the Wayfair. So it's a busy time for King Shelter.
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, we're excited to learn more about you, like I said. So tell us about the new EP and new single. We're going to hear the single next.
Yes, sir.
But is this a long amalgamation of work that's led to this?
Just one thing, please stop calling him sir.
Oh, not good for his, I apologize.
Not good. Master. He'll never get out of the door.
Okay.
Yeah. You can call me master if you like, but don't call him sir.
Fair enough. Okay.
Will do.
Oh, will do. So we put out our EP, which we did by ourselves last year, about October-ish, and so right away we decided to kind of start writing again and get things rolling. So now we had the opportunity to work with a producer and get into a studio and do some other stuff with some actual professionals. So we're pretty excited about that, and so we'll have 3 songs coming out in April. So we're very excited about that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how'd you choose a warehouse in Los Angeles to do the EP release show?
We stuck a knife in a globe.
Yeah,
and it fortunately landed.
It was so close to us.
An hour away.
Sick. Yeah.
Good thing it didn't land in like Syria or something.
Well, it did at first. We played that show. Yeah. There was only like 5 people, so
it was awful.
A good show for us. Honestly.
Yeah, our management's good. Our management. Yeah.
That's a great.
They suggested
answer.
That. Yeah.
That was a good answer. Yeah. Tyler was like, his eyes went crossed. Oh, no. I don't follow that one. That was good. Yeah. That was good. I love that you've got this something in the music there that's. The weird bass line.
I saw you staring at it. I was looking at you. Honestly,
I'm like, what? A flat in the but, and it works so great. And that sometimes that's what you know. Those kind of little musical things can be the thing that sets a band apart. Mm. You know, there's only so many.
Yeah.
You know, notes in a
non-harmonic tone,
non-harmonies,
right? A cacophony. I think you'll find it's.
You guys are losing the non-musical. No idea.
All those nerds that don't play music.
All right, well, let me put it this way: a slightly dissonant chord.
Yes.
Now I get it.
Yeah, but really, some of those little things really make a difference.
Yeah,
sounds very cool.
Well, I appreciate that, Master.
There was
I can distract people from the lack of content in your lyrics.
Oh,
no, I'm just I'm totally kidding.
Wow. It was a joke.
That was a joke.
What did we ever do to you?
So next week you guys are playing at this show called Locally Crafted. It's the first time we've done this. There's 3 other bands playing, Royal Jag, My Brothers, and Gardener's Logic. And you can go to brokenint.com/locallycrafted and vote for the bands, and that's going to determine our lineup. So I'm assuming you guys are going to do well and may end up later on in the night, but do you have any ideas so far?
You know, we're just, you know, going to let time play it out and we're going to try our hardest. But wherever we end up is where we will shine.
Very encouraging.
Very good. We're going to make it
and
the best time
slot. We will shine, first or last.
We're going to trust God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're gonna send one up to the big man upstairs.
Exactly.
Maybe he'll vote for us.
We've got his vote.
Yeah.
He counts as two. I don't know if you knew that.
Please do encourage your listeners and or your fans and everybody to download our KX app, because if they go to the show, they get in for free. Okay,
I did not know that.
Little known fact: if they go to the show next Wednesday at the Wayfair, they get in. They save $5 on entry. Wow, so, would you guys do another song for us?
Of course, I'd love to.
Jason, you really made him excited.
There's nothing. I would one more.
What's the next one you're gonna do?
This is our new single coming out. It's called Preoccupied.
This song is about trying to talk to girls again after not doing it for a very long time. And it's a very awkward thing. So here's a song called Preoccupy. It's a pretty awkward thing. All right. One, two, three. And this is not what I had planned. I am not supposed to be here, but my brain's bigger than my heart. Can my logic counter my fear of being dumb and strange? But there is hope in change. Did I say something wrong? I don't even know. Did I come on too strong? I should probably go. Hello, what is your name? Preoccupy my brain. Don't you think it's only fair that you get what you deserve? Her shirt was tight, her heels were high. Now she's another ample object for the nice guy. But that is dumb and strange. But there is hope in change. Did I say something wrong? I don't even know. Did I come on too strong? I should probably go. Hello, what is your name? Preoccupy my brain. I took these feet and I walked so far into the scene of an LA bar. The room was packed, but she caught my stare. Egocentric, but I didn't care. So I fixed my hat and did my sales pitch. She said, back the hell up, you scrawny little bitch. I then grabbed her hands and reminded her that I'm a white entitled man. We don't take no for an answer. Did I say something wrong? I don't even know. Did I come on too strong? I should probably go. Hello, what is your name? Preoccupy my brain. Hello, what is your name? Preoccupy. I left alone and was reassured as I told myself I don't take no for an answer.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. King Shelter live on KX 93.5. Based on the contents of that song, it seems like you really blew it. with whoever that was.
Oh, I blow up with everyone. Yeah, that's just a common trend.
Wait, so what happened in your life that made you not talk to girls for a long time, or whoever the subject
our
is
faces.
About?
Our faces. Oh, are you, don't you see what you're talking to?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I get it.
For those of you that can't see, we're about a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's why we're on the radio. Yeah, why do you think we're here, not on a TV show?
Yeah, exactly.
When KTLA has you, you'll have to politely decline, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. That's the way it goes. No, I mean, I dated an individual for a very long time, and then after that ends, it's kind of weird. It's like, well, now that that doesn't work out, does anything work out? I don't know. Am I even interested? Who knows?
Right.
Who cares? Not me. I guess I do, because I wrote a song about it.
Oh, yeah. No, you care.
Oh, I care.
You really care.
I'm more of a Dungeons and Dragons kind of guy myself anyway.
It's a curse, actually, isn't it? It's just a curse. The curse of testosterone.
Yeah.
Good boys. Oh, well.
Just roll a 20-sided die and you can decide.
You play Dungeons
on that
Dragons.
Subject. I know a thing or two.
He knew.
Wow.
It's actually called the
now
D20.
You've lost everyone, musicians and everyone.
You
all
can talk about cacophony of dissonant chords all you want, but I'm talking about D20
you
die.
Nice for knack,
yes.
Bro.
All right. King Shelter, we're big fans of you guys, and we're looking forward to next week, locally crafted at the Wayfair. That's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. You can go to brokenint.com/locally crafted to vote for your favorite band and see the gig. And where do you want people to go to learn more about you, find the new single and all that stuff?
You can go to our social medias. We're all over the interwebs, from Instagram to Twitter to Facebook to Spotify. But
MySpace,
to find us,
LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn. Yeah. But
MySpace, you got the MySpace?
We got MySpace, yeah.
Good.
King Shelter, yeah, like a king, and then a shelter, like an animal shelter.
Right.
On the Instagram, it's where all our good info is.
All right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Cool. Thank you very much for coming in this morning, guys. We appreciate the early arrival.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
We're stoked to be here.
We'll see you next week at the show. KX93.5.
Yes, master.
No way.
And now, your wanker of the week.
The wanker.
On Daily Scramble Live.
Oh, I love that we have a wanker.
You've
of week.
Never been more proud of a radio segment.
No, I love this. Okay, so, real quick. I've always thought Jamie Oliver was probably a bit of a knob. Turns out,
please,
actually,
please translate.
You know, a bit of a how do you say knob in America? He's a knob.
Okay, whatever. We get
know.
It.
Right. So Jamie Oliver, you know, the cook, the celebrity chef. He's a bit of a cheeky, cockney chappy. You know, he's a little bit of a caricature. He's a bit annoying. He's probably from a private school. It's probably really, that accent's not really his. All right. You know, oh, I'm going to do a nice bit of fish and all that. No, I don't think he's a, anyway, it turns out he's been campaigning. He's a big campaigner. And he campaigns, you know, for better nutrition, which is, I suppose, laudable in its way. But, of course, I'm American, so I don't like being told what to eat.
Right, of course.
Right, you know, don't tell me what to eat. If I want to get a triple Big Mac surprise supreme covered in cream and that and cheese, I'm having it. Anyway, he's been campaigning about sugar, and he's managed to get the British government, him among other people, to change the laws in Britain. And now they have a 7p...
Seven
pennies tax on every can of Coca-Cola or fizzy, sugary, fizzy drink. So now, they've done what Mayor Bloomberg wanted to do in New York.
So it's more expensive to buy soda because the sugar content's so high, thus discouraging people to drink sugar.
Thank you
for
saying that so succinctly. And he's really into it, and that's his big thing. And now he says the world has changed. That's what he said. The world has now changed. Now that we're focusing on this stuff and charging people more money for sugary drinks, turns out that Jamie Oliver's website is full of recipes jam-packed with sugar. Jam-packed. How about this one? This is a good one. Recipe for holiday citrus slushies on his site. 23 grams of sugar per serving.
Wow.
Yeah. Another recipe.
Even more than a soda,
I think. It's huge, yeah. Another recipe for passion fruit. You see, this is why I think he's a knob. Because he's
such
recipe,
a
he's got
knob.
Stupid
You're
names.
A knob.
Passion fruit calprina. What? Anyway, it includes 4 tablespoons of brown caster sugar to make 2 servings. Well, you're a hypocrite and you're a knob. And you're our wanker of the week. KX 93.5 listeners, have you heard about Laguna Loan?